The rest of the story. Nobody at the London hospital, patient or staff, would ever forget a nurse named Julia. Truly beautiful woman. Fine, perfectly proportioned features, warm, sweet, expressive eyes. So lovely was she, inside and out, that her own handicaps were almost overlooked. Rheumatic fever contracted in her young womanhood left her lame and hard of hearing. One knee would remain rod stiff for the rest of her life, and her deafness would continue to worsen over the years. And yet Julia, always active and athletic, refused to be shelved by her infirmities, and although her lameness ended her participation in gymnastics, she still glided gracefully as she walked, and continued to ride and to ice skate, even to dance, and as beautifully and skillfully as ever before. Her considerable physical strength would always serve her well, for despite her diminutive size, she could lift people larger than she and carry them with outstretched arms, apparently effortlessly. However, as a practical nurse, no one could have been less practical. She spent far too long with each of her patients, longer than a regular daily schedule would allow, but Julia would never have agreed that it made her days unnecessarily long. Her protracted, serious, encouraging talks with those in her charge, probably all in all, had a greater effect on them than the strictly medical aspects of their treatment. There was one young man in the hospital who had suffered a leg injury, and he had just been informed that his knee would be permanently stiff. And yet, just as this patient was sinking into understandable despair, Julia appeared at his bedside. She said, "My dear, dear man, I hear you have a stiff leg. Well, so have I. Now just watch what I can do with it." And with that, Julia lifted her skirt, and she swept her lame leg easily up over the top of the bedside table. Julia would not leave a ward until she had spoken to every patient. And her quick sympathy and personal concern for each was utterly genuine. That meant some long days and some well into the night. Now, was she an administrator? No, she was not a very good one. Nonetheless, she was elected president of a couple of nursing boards, and she was instrumental, despite the initial opposition of hospital authorities, in pioneering the use of the Finsen lamp for the treatment of lupus. Her personal life was burdened otherwise. Her increasing deafness, which had isolated her from so many simple pleasures, made it eventually necessary to study lip reading. A flagrantly philandering husband scarcely helped matters, but through it all, through her tireless, selfless service of the sick and her own private battles, Julia maintained a splendid, self-confident attitude, tolerating even the pompous and prudish attitudes of others. London Hospital was her hospital, she always said, as though it belonged to her personally. Well, I'll tell you, if she'd wanted it, she could have had it. That's right. It might have been given to her if she just asked for it. For you see, Julia, Alexandra, Caroline, Marie, Charlotte, Louise, Julia, all of those names were hers, was the Danish wife of King Edward VII. I mean, in addition to all else, in the first decade of this century, Julia was the Queen of England. And now you know the rest of the story.